Ottawa. Let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200.
The pitch to Beau. In the air. Hit well. Right center field. Tucker turns around. It's gone!
In the box.
You know, I was the backup when I was in Calgary my first couple years, and even in that role, you're always preparing as the starter. You're always preparing because you just know you're one play away, and it also is just how you approach the game. You don't want things to drastically change or be different from your routine all of a sudden when you are put in the lineup.
TSN 1200.
But I have all the faith in the world in Nick. You know, even Tyree, Crum, our whole quarterback room is you know, top notch. They all learn from each other, and you know, I having every one of those guys in the huddle during camp, I've learned more about the quarterback room than I ever thought that I would.
In the box.
There still has to be consequences to actions. You know, the people that left the PGA Tour irreparably harmed this tour, started litigation against it. Like, we can't just welcome them back in. Like, that's not going to happen. And I think that was the one thing that Jay was trying to get across yesterday, is like, guys, we're not just going to bring these guys back in and pretend like nothing's happened. Like, that is not going to happen.
Now, alongside Steve Lloyd.
We hold the world ransom for $100 billion.
Here's Steve Lloyd.
Oh, power! Yes!
It's a lot more than that in the world of golf. If you're just tuning in, welcome. If you're already tuning in, I'm sure you might want to react to what we just played live on TSN 1200, and that was Rory McIlroy's. Well, this is the usual thing, right? The Canadian Open starts tomorrow, and Rory McIlroy is the two-time defending champion. So, of course, right, you're going to do some media, but I think I counted, I won't even count the opening introduction from the moderator at the media center at Oakdale in Toronto. Just, hey, Rory, give us your thoughts on being back in Canada. That doesn't count, right? That's not a question from the media. I think there were one and a half kind of questions about basically playing the Canadian Open as a two-time defending champion. He knew it going in. It was all about the bombshell news that dropped around, well, now-ish, yesterday, right? That kind of took over our show, and everybody's still digesting it, and still many questions about what it's all going to look like. But if you've got any thoughts on what Rory had to say, let us know at 12-1200, and we're going to sprinkle in some of his thoughts here throughout the show. And you know what? We might play later on the show the bulk of his availability when it just centers in on his thoughts, his previous feelings, how he feels now, everything that went into it here. So, of course, that is a story that continues to develop. I can tell you this. We were trying to get CJ on today. Wait for it. Guess what CJ's doing? He can't join us. You got one guess, creature.
You know what? Two guesses are fair.
Okay, you got one.
Yeah, golfing is...
he's golfing.
Yeah. The other one would be like he's at some type of brewery or liquor tour developing some type of new thing.
Getting free samples somewhere.
Yeah. So those would be the two guesses. But the first one would be golfing.
Fair point by you. Yeah. So CJ's going to join us tomorrow morning at 10:30, actually, because I have, you know, anybody that has followed Chris Stevenson's journalistic career, well-versed in hockey, very well-versed in golf. He's covered so much of it over the years. I really want to get CJ's thoughts on this, so we'll do that coming up tomorrow morning at around 10:30. On the show today, at the time when I reached out, nothing had happened, and now something has happened, so we actually have something tangible to talk about what the future of Alek Manoah is going to be. As after the show yesterday, the word came down from Toronto that Manoah, after his most recent disappointing start, has been optioned to the Florida Complex League. So not AAA, not AA. He's down in Florida and trying to find his confidence, find his game, basically. So Rob Longley, who covers the Toronto Blue Jays for Post Media, is going to join us at 11 this morning and talk about, well, the Jays in general, but really the crux of the interview. The purpose is to talk about Alek Manoah. Like, how quickly can he, it's open-ended, obviously, how quickly can he find whatever he had last season? It was a meteoric rise. Do you remember when he first joined the Jays? two, 3 years ago. Sorry, flat circle pandemic time. And he came up, and there was some thought, oh, man, I know he's been really rising quickly through the ranks. Is it going to be too much too soon? But then he just did it, right? He showed up, and he never really showed any signs of it was too much too soon. And all the way through last season when he was, like, basically a finalist for the Cy Young, opening day starter this season for the Blue Jays. Now he's in Florida just trying to figure stuff out mentally and physically. So we're going to talk to Rob Longley all about that coming up at 11 this morning. Gord Wilson usually joins us on Wednesdays at 1. Speaking of rehab, Gordy's got a hip update today that will conflict with a 1 o'clock visit. So he's going to join us right after Rob Longley at around 11:30 here on the show. You can reach us at 12-1200. Standard text message rates apply. Two things we continue to give away on the show. Well, daily we're actually... a prize. It's the truck and tractor pull coming up later this month at the Carp Fairgrounds. It's the Carp truck and tractor pull. We've got some tickets up for grabs each and every day on the show, so we'll do that before 2 o'clock. Get your tickets at carpfair.ca. Also, our King of the Grill contest continues, where a couple times during the show, just going to pop on. We're going to give you a code word. You hit our website, tsn1200.ca. You plug in that code word with your correct deets, and then you're into the draw. As we're going to run this for a couple of weeks here on TSN 1200, you get chances to hear the code word multiple times throughout all of our daily shows. And what's on the line, courtesy of our friends at Capital Barbecue on Grenfell Crescent, it is a Weber Genesis Smart Barbecue. You can hook this thing up to your phone. You know, that is really handy, especially if you are an all-season queuer, right? I am. I'm out there in the middle of the winter. I get the barbecue close to the back door, right, on the patio. I always use it year-round. So if you had that, right, maybe fewer times you're stepping outside and freezing as you're trying to barbecue. So that's good. So we'll get to that a couple times throughout the show and give you a code word as well. Welcome to it. It is Steve Lloyd. It is Graham Creech producing and co-hosting today. So, Creature, I guess we're going to dive in kind of where we were at yesterday at around this time. We were all waiting to hear from Rory. And as mentioned, we've got it all. We're going to parse through it a little bit more throughout the show here. What's your general takeaway in his tone and the way he handled this availability and how he's feeling about this right now?
Yeah, got to be honest, most of when he was speaking, I was unable to listen just back in the green room. So I've listened to about half of what he said. And obviously he knows that he's the figurehead for this and would be prepared both with the information he would gather, PR staff. Like he knew this was coming. You get the softball opening question, like being back in Canada. But he knows he has to be the guy to stand up and answer these questions. And I think he's in a difficult spot. I know people are going to have a problem, I think, with a little bit with – I guess his stance on the money, but I think a lot of people will admire the way he did stand in and take that. And I know he played one of the clips in the intro that wanting you can't just allow these guys back in. I don't know. I do think that'll kind of be the case. Pay a penalty fee, whatever. But it'll be interesting to see how the entire fallout goes. But I wasn't able to listen to the entire press conference just because of the setup here.
The couple takeaways for me, and I had the opportunity to take it all in. He was a little more measured than I thought he would be. And as he continued to take the questions, I think if I had to kind of boil it down, he's disappointed because he was the face of the fight, right, on the PGA Tour when all this started over a year ago. But to sum it up, it's kind of like I think Rory's messaging on this. This is happening. They're not going to stop. You cannot outspend the Saudi fund. They are going to continue to spend money on golf no matter what. The litigation would continue. They have much deeper pockets. then the PGA Tour, then the DP World Tour, and it's not going to stop. It's so if you can't beat them, join them. That's basically my that's my takeaway from Rory. He's it's kind of a shrug. He says, "What are you going to do?" And the way he framed it was, well, if they're never going to stop spending money on golf, and that's it. Like, it's, they're not stopping. Would you rather have them as a partner or an enemy, is the way that he put it. So, and then there were very valid questions about things that were said. Pretty damning statement that you would expect from families of the victims of 9/11 coming out yesterday as well. All of that. But then Rory also said, like, he was trying to me, it's, you're kind of splitting hairs on this one. This is not a merger. And he's right, right? Merger sounds, it's easy for us to say, and it does kind of, it captures it. Because there is a relationship now, a business relationship between the PGA Tour, between LIV, between DP World Tour. And people, DP World Tour, they renamed it, that's the European Tour. So that's a fact. But it's not technically a merger. What they've done is they're creating this new company that's going to oversee these three tours. And Jay Monahan is the chairman president of this new company. So Rory's like, well, if the money's going to continue to be poured in by the Saudi fund and it's not going to stop, would you not want to have a hand on the wheel and control where it goes a little bit? And the fact that Jay Monahan's going to be at the head of this new entity, then that's going to happen. My counter to that would be, if you read the news release, and I read this portion on the air yesterday, that's fine. Yeah, I'm in charge. This is my position. I run the show at the top of the food chain here of this new company. Look at my business card. This is what it says. But the funding for this new thing is coming from Saudi money. And in the news release, it states they have the right of first refusal for any new investment into this new company. So who really is in control? Think about it. We try to break it down much lower than billions and billions of dollars, because who can relate to that, Graham? But listen, if I'm a partner with you, Graham, and you and I we're going into business together, and you just, it's just decide, Steve, you get to be the president and chairman, okay? You're gonna be the face of it. You're gonna make, you know, you're gonna do all the news conferences. You're gonna all that stuff. You're the guy. But Graham, you're the money guy. So, depending on, you have all the leverage in the world. You're the lifeblood of the company. So whatever you decide to do with your money, who cares if I'm the chairman or the president? You can undercut me anytime you want. I don't have the money. You're the guy. Graham Creech, you're the made guy. So for Rory to say that, it's accurate on the surface, but come on. The power always lies with who is writing the check. That's it. In any business. And the Saudi fund is funding this new company. So it's fine to say that Jay Monahan's going to head it up and he's got full control. Yes and no. If push comes to shove, he does not have control. He doesn't. There's a reason why you went to this arrangement. You weren't going to be able to keep up with all these higher purses and premier events and the reaction to LIV. And obviously your sponsors are probably getting antsy. There's a reason why you wanted to broker something like this. You don't have the money that the Saudi fund does. Not even close. So, I don't know. That's the one thing with everything that Rory had to say that I take more. Well, there's many things, right? But in terms of framing it the way it's being framed, that's, I don't know. To say that Jay Monahan being the head of this new company is going to have control over it, I think that's disingenuous. That's not going to be factual.
What do you think of kind of the vote of confidence from Rory when it feels like so many other members of the PGA Tour feel the opposite, and that Jay Monahan can't survive this.
Well, that's it. And Rory, towards the end of his availability, and was quite frank about that. He says, listen, most of the guys that were most angry, and this makes up the majority of players, right? There's very few stars, superstars in golf, right? The rank and file is the rank and file. And Rory said a lot of the venom that's come is from rank and file players. And he says, I get it. I empathize with it, but to be honest, he says, I can't relate to that. I had never been in that position. Rory's been a superstar the whole time, yeah. Right? Like, money's never been a problem for Rory. It's not about, oh, no, can I keep my card? No, never really went through that, ever. So he can't identify with the air quotes, I'll say this, common man in professional golf. So, anyways, there's my 2 cents off the top of the show. We'll get into it a little bit more. Send your thoughts in at 12-1200. We will continue to talk hockey. Dave Poulin was Poulin's pretty plugged in. There's a reason why I have him on 3 times a week on this station. Told J.R. and Simmer this morning he expects a lot more of this. And a lot more of this is a lot more action, more trades. Had the Provorov trade, which was very significant yesterday. The Carter Hart name continues to be floated. Darren Dreger acknowledged, yeah, that's out there, but yeah, easy, pump the brakes. They're just gauging interest at this point. The Senators are gauging interest at this point on Alex DeBrincat. We'll continue to talk about that and possibly what could be happening there and what else might fall out of the blue today. This is another off day in the Stanley Cup Final as well. Don't be surprised if there's some significant news, trade, whatever, today as well. When Pooley said that this morning, I tend to take that to the bank. So stay tuned on that. We could be in for more action in the NHL here today as well. And as I mentioned, we'll talk more about the Jays and Alec Manoa. Rob Longley is going to join us coming up at the top of the hour about that here as well. Okay, why don't we settle in here? Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll start to sift through a little bit of that Rory sound as the show goes on here. But I see your text messages already reacting to that coming in, so let's include you, as we should. We'll get into that coming up next on In the Box on TSN 1200.
Now back to In the Box on TSN 1200.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are happy dogs. Rhythmic dogs. Harmonic dogs. House dogs. Street dogs. Dogs of the world unite. Dancing dogs.
Can I throw something positive here, Graham? Is that okay?
Worse.
Let's do it. I got a text and I just got an email as well from our very positive listener, Don in Canada, who says he's calling his shot. I think he's pointing to the bleachers. He's saying Sens news today. The power of positive thinking, Don. Thank you. It'd be nice. Wouldn't that be nice? That's always just sitting there in the background now as we go throughout our shows here at TSN 1200 are 3 daily 4-hour shows, and all of us are in the same boat on these shows, and just lots of stuff to talk about, right? There is, but we all know that that's just kind of sitting there. It's in the background. You're always half-tap dancing. Whenever we talk about the Senators in any vein, I don't care if it's about the future of DeBrincat or the goaltending or any decisions that got to be made, in the back of our mind, it's like, yeah, well, what about the sale process? How does this affect that? How much can we really sink our teeth into this until that happens? So thank you, Don. Maybe Don's power of positive thinking has an impact here throughout the day here. Okay, I've compiled some of your text messages that have come in on their new company that has been created to oversee the PGA Tour, LIV, and DP World Tour. And when you heard from Rory McIlroy this morning, he's right. It's this isn't a full-on merger per se. Sound like these are 3 golf tours that for the time being, are going to continue as their own entity. But I think there's going to be, well, there's going to be opportunities for cross-pollination. And then eventually, you wonder where it's all going, right? Like, are we just going to have one mega tour at some point? Now, from the cross-pollination standpoint, Rory was adamant. Jay Monahan talked about it yesterday, head of the PGA Tour, and will be the head of this new company overseeing those three tours. Kinda, as I laid out the previous segment. Looks nice in a business card. That it's not like the players that just left and went to LIV are going to be welcomed back with open arms. Sounds like there's a path to them getting back onto the PGA Tour or the DP World Tour if they want. But it sounds like they're going to have to maybe pay to get back in, is what they're saying. You got a lot of money from LIV to leave. Maybe you're going to kick some of that back to come back. I think that's an easy read on that one, right? That would be probably because if we've learned anything throughout this process, who cares about what you think? Follow the money. Why stop now? That's how these guys are going to get back onto these tours. They're going to have to pay to get back in. There's going to be a door fee to get in. You got to buy a ticket. All right, let's get to some of your thoughts. Greed, that's all it is, pathetic. Selling out these human rights violators, lowlifes, all of them. Next one comes in from, that was unsigned, this is Triple D, the original. Saudis can go behind closed doors and quietly negotiate to buy the entire PGA in a short period of time, but the Sens are still up for sale. WTF. Thank you, Triple D. I was feeling positive, thanks to Don, but thanks for bringing me down. Triple D, appreciate that. Totally. $$ equals control. Jay Monahan just trying to save his job/job title. As is always the case, follow the money. Agreed, Lloydy. Jamie and Hamlet. I think he missed the point when he said we shouldn't allow these players back in. Well, your league joined them and not them joined your league. Those players are not going anywhere but to play all together. What an idiot. Cheers, Almir. Yeah, you're right. Like, this is going to happen, but I think this is all about the players that did leave that took lump sum big checks to do so. There's probably going to be a negotiation. You're going to kick some of that back to get back in. That makes the most sense. But you're right. It's going to happen. Like, it's you can't say that it's, well, we're not welcome. It's not open arms. Well, eventually it will be, right? Not too long ago, we're never going to partner in any way with LIV. Got Jay Monahan last year. He's quoting the victims and families from 9/11 and talking about you'll never have to be ashamed to play in the PGA Tour. Fast forward to yesterday, that's a whole new songbook.
Yeah, I've got friends and multiple families I'm very close with who lost loved ones. To go into all that, and then a year later,
oh,
it's all good. Listen to the money talk.
And Monahan yesterday did call himself a hypocrite. I can see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you we can all to, see right? it. Because you're going to have a team of PR people walking you through how you're going to handle this, and you know that those comments are there. So, like, you have to take them head on and acknowledge that you said that, because that's like you're getting roasted by the players, by the media, everybody, fans.
Oh, man. So blood money is bad, but have a say in how it's spent is okay? Slap my head, asinine. Well, that's the other thing with if their ticket to get back onto the PGA Tour and or DP World Tour, and it seems that's the case, right? Because there was some speculation based on Monahan kind of brushed up against it yesterday in his comments. Like, what about players like Rory and Tiger and others that could have made a ton of cash to jump as well? Rory did shut down a question quickly today, though. He says, you were offered a lot of money. He says, no, I wasn't. That's probably semantics. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there were initial conversations with Rory's people, and it got shut down. It never got to Rory. So I take him at his word, but I think maybe, come on, of course they were interested in getting Rory McIlroy. Come on. Anyways, if that's the way it's going to happen, and he was asked about maybe some players that didn't jump and should they be made whole or gets, and Rory basically agreed that's the case. And that's the other thing that's just brought up by this texter. It's like, well, if your principle was always about where the money is coming from, it's still coming from the same place. So it's okay to accept it now if it's kicked back to you because of this new agreement. All of a sudden, that's all right. What happened to the principles? And listen, and I say that just strictly as contradicting yourself. I'm not, whatever. Everybody's going to have a different thought on this. And yes, there's many companies support the PGA Tour that just not as directly as the Saudi fund. You can find holes in that. And I get all that. I do. I'm not here to have that discussion. I think we can all recognize that. But if you're a player that was very, no way, not me, I'm not taking the blood money. But what if you get some money kicked back after this agreement because you didn't jump to you and you take it? That's different now. It's the same source. It's the same tap. It's the same water.
Unbelievable.
Oh, man. All right. Austin's not happy. Jay is one of the most spineless people in recent memory. I don't understand how you could bring up Victor's families and turn around and do this. Those families' integrity didn't mean much to him once his pockets got filled. Dave writes, if you're voicing your disapproval over the Saudis' involvement in the PGA based on human rights issues and you're typing your text on an iPhone while walking in Nikes and so on, take stock in what you support without even thinking about it. Comes from Dave. Yeah, that's my point. Like, listen, like, it's all... But this is such a direct thing. Like, this is, we can go through human rights violations. It's gotten a little bit better in recent years, but basically women aren't people. Let's start there. It's gotten a little better in recent years. But here we are in 2023. How's that? And we can get into the beheading of journalists and all that. I get it. But you're right, Dave. Like, you know, I mentioned that. You can do the whataboutism game about indirect. For sure you can. For sure you can. And I'm just trying to recall a conversation, not exactly about this, we've had with Eric Macromella. And, oh, I think the jumping off point, you remember when the NBA was doing some preseason over in China? Was it Morley, one executive with the Sixers at the time, said some things and basically was reprimanded. LeBron James, that's one of the very few times LeBron James has kind of stepped out and stepped in it, and he had to walk some stuff back because the good of the company, of the NBA and what have you. And Eric brought up the point, and everybody that jumped on all that said, listen, if you've got a problem with China's lack of human rights and how many things of that nature happen within China, then stop shopping at the dollar store.
I think it was an executive with the Rockets.
It was the Rockets. You're right. It wasn't. Yes, it was. It was Morley. So I hear you, Dave. I get it.
Yeah, that's fair. We've gotten a lot of those throughout the last 24 hours, and as you mentioned about women don't exist. There's been a lot of questions too about the LPGA Tour. What does it mean for that?
All right. Now, this is still, and I hate to use this word because I know it's so distasteful, this whole thing, so many people, but it is a fascinating story because I want to know what's next. We all do. Yeah, you've created this umbrella company. We got a few details, but what's this going to mean eventually for the future of these tours and how that works and how players can play on multiple tours? I asked this to Fritchie yesterday. Is this going to hurt a lot of aspiring professional golfers? Like, are we just funneling things into insane cash for the very top players that are already there? Is this going to be even more of a kind of a closed club? Is there going to be less opportunities to grab that brass ring and rise to the ranks of golf wherever you are in the world? These are questions that, you know, we just have to see what the next stage is. Because when you think about it, there were very few details presented in the news release yesterday and the subsequent media availability with Jay Monahan. So it remains to be seen. Oh, one other thing I want to mention with Rory, and Creature's put together a little bit of a clip sheet. We're going to run through some of this here as the show moves along. Take a break after this, though, Graham. We all wondered, brought this up as the story was breaking yesterday. At the PGA Championship at Oak Hill, just outside Rochester, Rory McIlroy, like today, had a media availability ahead of the tournament. Not uncommon. And one of the very first questions was about LIV and PGA and everything that's gone on. And it's very fair to ask Rory McIlroy about this because Rory McIlroy has been very vocal about this. He's been a face of the PGA Tour in standing up for the PGA Tour throughout this entire process. And then Rory went cold. He went silent. He shut it down and was not talking about that at all. A couple of reporters took another bit of a run at it, shut it down. I'm not here to talk about that. I'm done. So then the question is, when this news broke yesterday, it's like, what did Rory know and when did he know it? Did he know it then? I think he did. There's a chance, because he did say in his comments this morning, he said he got a phone call yesterday, well, 2 nights ago, he got a phone call, said, can I call you in the morning? His guy calls him at 6:30 yesterday morning, fills him in. What's happening and all the details. But then Rory said, I was surprised, but I did know that there were negotiations taking place between the two sides. He admitted that this morning. He knew that they were talking. So that stands to reason. That's probably a big reason why a couple weeks ago at the PGA Championship, he really didn't want to get into it. Maybe he knew even back then, because he acknowledged this morning, I knew that the lines of communication were open, I think is somewhat the phrase he used this morning. But still, he was surprised, like everybody else was, at bam. The other thing, we asked about Greg Norman. Greg Norman was cut out of this. He didn't know. He found out with the rest of us in a news release. The face of LIV. The face of LIV, the face of the Saudi fund supporting LIV. Greg Norman found out about it like the rest of us. And he was not mentioned in the news release at all. I saw Don Van Natta put it out there. It appears that Greg Norman's out. And if you want, there's a perfect example of what I was talking about a few minutes ago. About, yeah, Jay Monahan's, he's going to head up this new company. He's going to have control. Really? Control always lies with somebody. Who's signing the checks? Greg Norman was the head of LIV. Oh, I got all the control. They didn't even tell him. And he's out. Why? He wasn't writing checks. He wasn't the real boss.
You know,
it's always
what,
the money. The money's the boss. So Jay Monahan, you're not the boss of this new entity. You're not.
You know, as those conversations began, like even before they really get into it, yeah, he's out. We do this, he's out. He's not involved.
All right. Okay, take a break. Your thoughts continue to pour in on this. We'll get to it. We're gonna talk some baseball, though, with Rob Longley at 11 from Post Media and talk mostly about Alek Manoah. And this is the right thing, right? We were all just wondering, when are the Jays going to do it, and what would it look like? Where will he go? What level of ball? Just get away, get out of the limelight. It's just, I used the word sad yesterday. It's sad watching him. Like, I know, you buy your ticket, do what you want, but when people were booing him off the field the first inning a couple nights ago, I'm like, that's where you're at right now? Do you not see what's going on here? This guy's he's a broken professional athlete. His spirit's crushed mentally. He's just in a bad, bad place. So the Jays did the right thing. And we'll talk to Rob Longley about it coming up at the top of the hour. Oh, of course, we'll get into the hockey talk. The Brinkett, Provorov trade yesterday. Carter Hart, what's next? Stanley Cup final doesn't resume until tomorrow evening. Game three, down 2-0. Panthers at home. Breaking news, need that win. Tonight, though, we've got game three of the NBA Finals in Miami. 7:30 for a pregame show, going right into some play-by-play here on TSN 1200. And that series is all tied up at a game apiece between the Nuggets and the Heat. Back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
To In the Box on TSN 1200.
Oh, the texts continue to come in. It's not going well for Jay Moneyhan, as he's been dubbed by one of our texts that have come in here. All right. Lots of reaction. This is still a massive topic. We'll come back to this here. But because we're going to talk some ball in the next segment, I want to get to, like, the Provorov trade happened at the very end of our show yesterday, Graham, as you looked at the nuts and bolts of that. So the Philadelphia Flyers were wondering about how Danny Briere, first-time general manager, well, how he's going to fare. If you judge it on his first big move, that's a job well done. So in exchange for Provorov and a couple of veteran minor league players, the Flyers got a first-round pick from Columbus, number 22 overall, goaltender Cal Peterson, who spent most of the last year in the minors. Defenseman Sean Walker. Defensive prospect Helge Granz. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly, sorry. A conditional second-round pick from Columbus. And a 2024 second-rounder from L.A. All for Provorov. That's a return. That's pretty good. That's maximizing the asset, creating a three-team trade scenario. And Danny Briere did very well. Listen, we're moving on from Provorov. This is happening. Could have done a lot worse than that. That's pretty good. Now, Provorov heads to Columbus. LA's the pit stop, right? And they pick up 30%. And the Jackets ended up giving up that first-round pick and another second-round pick to facilitate the 30% as well. And then you link it. You always got to backfill. So this really, if you're looking at the asset tree for Columbus, aren't you going back to the trade deadline and the Gavrikov-Kopitar deal? So that kind of mitigates the return on that. Essentially, your return becomes Provorov. It becomes different. The end game of that really is essentially Provorov. And now with LA getting, they eat 30% of Provorov, but it's still a net win for them in cap space because Walker and Peterson are out the door. Now they can sign Gavrikov, who they got from Columbus, and maybe even Korpisalo. So this whole transaction, really, you got to go back to that original trade between LA and Columbus to kind of fill in all the pieces here. But what are your thoughts? As it just happened at the end of the show, you and I just mentioned it, right? We didn't even talk about it because it was just before 2:00. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was so late. I grinded together to put the Provorov reentry in, I think at like 1:53. Probably the latest reentry I've ever done as a producer, but didn't really react to it other than. Just seeing the big piece of news going by at the end of the show, and hopefully we continue to get some more type trades from that between now and the draft. Reaction, obviously, I think similar to what a lot of people would view it as is, and I like the Columbus part. I thought ever since hearing the Babcock news, and there were whispers earlier, maybe that their first round pick would be they'd be open for business on that. Who knows? But I wonder what direction are they heading in here? Do they, and they just signed Gaudreau, do they want to speed things up and build a team that can hopefully compete for a playoff? You get Borenski back. So obviously they're doing that, solidifying their blue line. And it sounds like Babcock has been for some time a big fan of Provorov. Kings, the way I view that is freeing up some money for being able to make some moves, probably on a goaltender or defenseman. And then obviously Philly. Finally, Lloyd, they commit to rebuilding. I think that's been overdue for quite some time. And I think that was evident. They know that, just judging by the changes that have been made with the leadership group and the direction they're going to head in. It feels like for too long they've just tried to patch things together with older free agents and some trades and stuff like that. They desperately need a rebuild, and it looks like they're heading in that direction. Then you get wind that they're also potentially moving Carter Hart. So I think much needed for the Philadelphia Flyers. And yeah, that's obviously futures for them moving on from Provorov, and Kings freeing up some cap space, Columbus trying to get better.
We've asked this before because it's not the first time his name's been floated. And now it's been talked about by various insiders, and Darren Dreger all confirmed the reports that were out there. Dave Pagnotta from the Fourth Period had it as well. They've been talking to teens about Carter Hart. And there was one report out there, they thought it was going to be imminent. Well, it's not, obviously. It would have happened yesterday. But Danny Briere is having conversations. And the obvious question to ask here, Sens need a goalie, right? Does Carter Hart, how do you feel about him? Should Pierre Dorion be kicking tires and talking to Danny Briere about that?
Yeah, but
your pause says a lot.
Yeah, exactly. The reason I pause is I don't know what he is right now. And if the return on him is expected to be significant, I think I'm out. I wouldn't, like, if they were to make that trade and it was a pretty significant return, I don't know if I'd love it immediately, but I wouldn't hate it, and I'd give it some time. But I think, and to be fair to the player, that's been a pretty terrible team for a good chunk of his time there. Obviously, he came out the gun pretty quick and played pretty well. Obviously, many have questioned how his development has been handled. I'm just unsure of exactly what he is. I'd be interested, but if it's a significant return, I don't know how interested I'd be. How do you feel about him?
He's a maybe with me.
Yeah.
I think it's worth the conversation because he's only got a year left and he's an RFA. Like there's a good body of work. There's a lot of good, but then there's a lot of oof. Where's this going? I'd be open to it. I'd be open to it. But you'd want to know, that you could get him signed to an extension, and I'd want to know that number kind of now ish, and you could really get into it because he is entering the last year of his deal. So as of July 1st, he's eligible to sign an extension. And then he is an RFA with arb rights after this upcoming season. Now, the other thing, though, if, like, Philadelphia's, they're open, right? Make a call. Send an email to Danny. Guy I'm calling about, if I'm Ottawa, if I'm moving on from DeBrincat, is Travis Konechny available?
TK back in Ottawa?
And I'm not saying directly for DeBrincat because would Philly be a team that he'd want to sign long-term with if they're going into a heavy rebuild? The market, I would think for sure you'd be open to it. But with the direction of the franchise and your chance of being on a winning team, maybe not. I don't know. So it might not be a direct thing. But that's certainly a player. And I don't think there'd be multiple teams that have already made this call. Danny Briere has just told the world publicly, so you know what's he saying behind the scenes as he interacts with his fellow GMs around the league. Let's talk about everybody on our roster almost. And I look at specific needs for a team like the Senators. If DeBrincat's not going to be here, and really it looks like he's not, I know Craig Button was pretty definitive in his hit with Jay Onwright last night as well in speaking about that. We'll see. You have to fill a top six role. You do. If DeBrincat's not going to be here. So if I'm talking about potentially available Philadelphia Flyers, that's the guy I'm making a call about. He's got 2 years left at 5'5", 26 years old. We all know about the jam that he plays with. He is a pain. He's yappy, he's gritty, he's greasy, and he can score, and he plays hard. And the thing is, he's an undersized guy, and sometimes he's that led to some injuries. I'd take Travis Konecny on my team any day.
Oh, yeah. fits, I think, a lot of what this team hopes to be when they are in the postseason, right? With obviously the guys that can contribute, but also the nastiness and that kind of game. And Travis Konecny has tons of that.
Yeah.
Even like him, how close him and Giroux are. I remember there was a play. I don't know if it was the first time Philly was here or the second time, but it might have been the first. It all blends together. Like you said, flat circle with COVID. But I think Konecny thought maybe Giroux went down a little bit easy to draw a penalty and let him hear about it and give him a little stick on the way by. They had some words, and they're close, so. I don't know. I'd love seeing that in players. And yeah, he would definitely be a guy that I'd be interested in.
All right. Let's take a break. Because when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Blue Jays and Alek Manoah going down to the Florida Complex League to find his game. Rob Longley from Post Media will join us next on In the Box on TSN 1200.